it just seems like...
Well, we just started recording just now.
Oh, okay. Age for a decade or so. Does that mean less than a decade to a decade, or does that mean a decade or longer?
Right. So Greg and I have differing opinions on how to interpret that language. Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably how we evolved our own personal languages.
Sure.
To me, a decade or so sounds like a statement shorting that promise, right? A decade, 8 to 10 years is how I interpret that promise.
And to me, when you say a decade or so, that means, you know, 10 years or 12 years. I mean, to me, when you say a decade or so, it's like a decade.
Whenever you get around to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I see it. Yeah, I mean, that's, I thought we wanted to talk about that on the air. Just curious, right? I don't know if we can go on about it for 20 minutes about how interesting.
I thought we were already recording, so.
Yeah, no. I'm a little slow on the buttons tonight.
So do you want to do Amazon Anonymous, because we have not done it?
We haven't done it. So I pulled up month to date. I'm a little slurry tonight.
We just had some high alcohol
beer. I don't like when I get slurry. I hate getting slurry. I know the listeners sometimes like slurry, but makes me feel like an amateur.
Sorry, did that one. Really much.
There's a lot of items on the August purchase. We've had 81 items bought.
Wow. Thanks, August. Guys. Thank you.
81. So, where do we start? Someone bought a whole bunch of Amazon Instant Video. We made 12 cents a piece on each one of those.
Hmm.
Hey, adds up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Hmm, cool.
There's so many items, I can't read every single one. I'm just going to look for a category that seems interesting. And go from there. You might want to come around. I don't want to hand the laptop over and pull the USB out or anything, so...
I just want to look up something.
Just goes and goes and goes. Wow. Your stomach's making all kinds of noises.
I know. It's...
Okay, so this is a new one to me. Don't know what this is, but might as well pick it because I'm tired of the dead air. This is the Wristology Alex Ladies Tortoise Shell Crystal Chunky Boyfriend Watch in Acrylic Resin Gold Dial Woman's $29.99. And I haven't even clicked the link to see what the thing looks like yet. But it's under watches. Ooh, it's a kind of fancy watch. The band looks kind of... The band is resin. It looks kind of like amber. Like dried sap type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the face... For a $29 watch, this thing looks fancy. It's got a bunch of fake diamonds all around it. It has three little inset faces. It looks nice. It looks really nice. Okay, includes a one-year warranty and a protective dust bag.
Excuse me.
Greg is going to go take care of his GI issues, so I'm going to carry the show here. That means I get to read reviews. Oh, there's one review. It's 5 stars. This is not as much fun with Greg poo-pooing the review reading, by the way. I usually don't venture to buy jewelry for my wife. But while out shopping recently, she remarked about liking a watch very similar to this one. I couldn't believe my luck when running across this one for just $30. I ordered it and received it even faster than was expected. My wife loves the watch. It's a fancy looking watch, that's for sure. I will. Do I pause or I find another item? This is why I never did a podcast by myself. This is why I knew from day one I needed a co-host. It's just very difficult to carry the show by yourself. Greg's back.
Hi.
He is going to look.
All right, let's see here.
I don't know if you want to start at the top, but that's 81 items right there, man.
That's a lot of items. Okay, so. Well, you keep carrying the show. You're doing such a great job.
I'm doing such a great job carrying the show. Greg is scrolling. He's doing the two-finger scroll on a Macintosh. Play-by-play here. I'm doing the color.
I know. I like it.
Oh, someone bought Bean Boozled's. These are the jelly bellies that taste like shit.
Oh, really?
But look just like the regular ones. So you can toss They look just like regular Jelly Bellies, but they're nasty flavors. And you can kind of just sneak them in with the regular Jelly Belly. So every once in a while, someone gets, instead of getting peach, they get barf. Instead of getting
what
banana.
What does barf taste like?
Barf. Instead of getting top banana, they get pencil shavings. Instead of licorice, they get skunk spray.
Mm.
Instead of juicy pear, they get booger. Instead of caramel corn, they get moldy cheese.
Ugh.
Yeah, bean boozleds. I've been meaning to try some of these nasty flavors, but
dog food.
But not really that badly.
What's that one? The strawberry jam or centipede? What the fuck is that?
Yeah, someone bought some bean boozleds. Thank you.
Okay. I have one of these. This was a good OXO Good Grips oyster knife. So if you ever had to shuck an oyster,
mm-hmm.
you know, you basically need something that is really a solid piece of metal. You can't have anything thin. It has to be really sturdy and solid. And this one is a good example. It has a nice handle to it. And you know, the blade is not necessarily sharp. It's not supposed to be. It just needs to be enough to get into something.
It seems
but also
like it's less broad blade than most oyster knives. Like, I have an oyster knife. I don't know what brand it is. I got it, you know, at the church sale, right? But it's, you know, it's a good inch and an eighth thick. Where that one looked like it was like 3/4 inch thick.
Yeah, it's a good one because it's not super thick, which means you can get into things.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it doesn't bend at all.
Right.
So thank you whoever bought that. And let's see what else. What's this? Solar Group Postmaster Replacement Flag fits all approved rural mailboxes. So someone needed to replace their
mailbox slide.
Their mailbox slide, and they got one of these. That's awesome. Thank you for thinking of us when you went to buy your little mailbox thing. I hope it wasn't like somebody with a bat knocking it off.
Well, they generally buy a new mailbox at that point, and those would come with them knocking over bottles. Going crazy over here. Something else caught my interest. I was curious about. So I'm going to extend the segment for one more minute. Someone bought an e-cloth home cleaning set 8-piece. So I want to know what electronic e-cloth is. 110 customer reviews. 5 full stars. Looks like a bunch of microfiber cloths. What's e-cloth? Perfect to tackle all home cleaning challenges in every room of the house. It removes 99% of all bacteria, including E. coli and Listeria, from hard surfaces. E-cloth fibers attract moisture and oil. The millions of fibers lift and trap dirt, grease, grime, mildew, bacteria in the cloth. That's everything, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Doesn't really sound. It's chock full of marketing speak, is what it is.
Yeah. Okay, Hallucigenia, very interesting creature from the Cambrian time during the Cambrian explosion. One of the more strange ones that scientists had been looking at for a long time because they didn't. They were confused about it at first. They had wildly different ideas about what it was. And then they thought that maybe this lineage died out. As it turns out, now they have just recently, in the past week, announced that they found a possible descendant.
But still a fossil?
No, alive.
Oh, okay.
So Hallucigenia is a... This is an artist's description. It looked like this. It was a worm-like creature that had spikes on its back. Very hard spikes. And little legs under it.
Yeah, that's an interesting creature. I mean, the artist's description... shows these giant spikes. It looks like it has little horse hooves. Looks like it has like 2 little claws on each leg.
Right.
Its head is very fetus-like. It looks like a very early developed fetus.
They really don't know what the heads are like, because the heads have never been really well preserved. But
I see.
The body, the really interesting thing.
Or is that the tail? Which end's the front?
They don't know.
Oh, okay.
They don't know. The really interesting thing is, this is what they used to think it was. It looked like. Because when they originally found it, it didn't look like... I mean, the spikes were obvious, but it only seemed like they had one pair of those...
Oh, of the legs.
Of the legs.
So that the legs were frills.
Well, that couldn't be legs, so it must be walking on these spikes. But then people thought, wait a minute, that just doesn't...
Seems foolhardy, that, doesn't it?
It just doesn't... It doesn't make much sense, so they started to look more into it, and then they found that these spikes are sometimes the only thing that survive. They fossil very well.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it doesn't. And also, the legs are kind of smaller and stubbier, and they can get hidden behind some rock, and so it's usually in pretty dark rock. It took them a while to find out that it actually had these legs.
Which side was up?
Yeah. But now the better understanding is that, it had these spikes on its back. So what's really interesting is you mentioned that on its legs are these little claw-like features. And that's what led them to find something that has those same features.
Okay.
It's the velvet worm, which is it's in some rainforests. So here is an example of a velvet worm. And apparently what they notice is a striking similarity in sort of the claw-like features on the legs.
Okay.
So that leads them to believe that this is, you know, because there aren't other structures similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it leads them to believe that this is a descendant of that creature. So the hallucinogenia line did not die out like, say, the trilobites did.
Cool. Science.
Yeah. It was called hallucinogenia because it was so strange.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird looking bug, that's for sure.
Did I ever tell you this one?
Was it land?
No, it was Cambrian was all ocean.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's an interesting question for you. There is one creature whose English name is the same as its taxonomic Latin name.
There's one creature whose English name is the same as its taxonomic name. I mean, I could think for a very long time, or you could give me a kingdom or a family or something.
Okay, kingdom Animalia.
Okay. It's a mammal?
No.
Oh.
It's an animal.
Oh, okay.
Kingdom Animalia. It is a reptile.
Reptile. Exactly the same, or
exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Okay.
It is a snake.
Okay, I'm tired of. I don't want to.
Boa constrictor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting. So it's actually that's Latin too, huh?
The Latin name, is boa constrictor, and the English name, boa constrictor. Pretty cool. One of those little facts you learn.
Like strawberries.
I found out. Remember we talked about those chambers where sound is muffled. I forget what they
anechoic.
Anechoic chambers. It wasn't in that video where someone popped a balloon. It was Stephen Fry did an example on QI of that. He went into one of them and popped a balloon. It was like.
Okay.
It was really cool. I want to have one of those. That'd be so awesome.
You just need a lot more of this stuff.
Yeah, it needs to be really well designed. This stuff ain't going to do it. Jeff is pointing to the sound dampening things that we have in the room, which are basically the cardboard, or not the cardboard, the styrofoam egg carton type things that you get when electronics are packed.
Yeah.
But they're all sewed together.
It took the reverb out of the room, so. Yeah. But yeah, definitely not anechoic, right? Those things, like, we have bumps that, this is the best stuff here, and it's about an inch deep, right? Yeah. Where an anechoic chamber has like a foot deep.
Right, and they're not bumps, they are, edges that, they are pretty strong triangles as opposed to bumps.
Yeah.
The whole idea is to direct sound completely away from everything else.
We can build one.
We have the technology. It would have to be on the ceiling, and they have a chain floor.
Yeah.
Because the floor itself has those too. Mm-hmm. So there's a...
Yeah, you're suspended over the actual floor on a wire floor, right. Mid-floor type thing. Yeah. Fun. Stuff. Stuff and stuff.
Anything else to talk about?
Trying to think. I still haven't remembered the awesome award-winning topic that I lost in the pre-show.
There's always those things that you figure out. You're like on Wednesday, I gotta talk about that. And then...
Yeah. Always.
My birthday is coming up.
Yes.
Next week. Next Tuesday. Tuesday, actually, yes. This is my sister. Just her birthday yesterday. Thursday, and I bought her water boiling thingy, kettle.
Fire. I bought her fire.
I bought her fire. And also a couple measuring cups. That's what she wanted. So I was like, all right, I'll buy you that. I asked my parents and her to, if they're going to give me a gift, to buy me Apple gift certificates.
Okay.
Because
go towards
the purchase of my next computer.
It's a good idea. Oh, I wish I had something to talk about. Let's see, what did I do this week?
You went geocaching.
I did go geocaching. Yes.
You went to see Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, Allie didn't go, right?
Allie did not go. No.
Allie would have enjoyed it, right?
There's a factoring of her refusing to enjoy it just because Max would enjoy it.
Okay.
Kids are very being contradictory with each other.
But they both like the Lego movie.
Yeah. Telling her she's going to see superheroes.
If I would have seen that when I was... I think I told you this. If I would have seen that when I was 7, that would be my Star Wars. There's no question about it. That would have been totally my jam.
Yeah, I hear you. Especially if the sequel turns out to be good, right? When you're when you're 9 or 10.
Oh, what a great script too. We didn't talk about that. I mean, it's the jokes were really funny, and there were some pretty salacious jokes, as it turned out.
Yeah, the Jackson Pollock
joke was, wow.
It got a good groan in the theater, that's for sure.
It got a groan,
yeah.
Oh, everyone in the theater, when I watched it, everyone loved it.
It was like, oh! And Max was like, what?
Yeah, that's a hard one to explain.
Well, you see, when you have sex and you blow your load all over the place...
Okay, there was I thought, you know who did a great job? Dave Bautista did a great job.
Which
he was
one?
Drax.
Okay.
I mean, he played that part. I mean, it's interesting that a total straight man, I mean, like, the character itself has to be straight because he doesn't he doesn't get metaphors or jokes or anything.
Right.
So, you know, like, you tweeted the whole thing about things going over my head, well, too fast.
That was because I was I was being critical to someone on Twitter, and they retweeted or favorited my tweet, right? Because it was just like an automatic. So that I had to, you know, do the whole nothing goes over my head.
But, you know, that character turns out to be very funny when you put him in the right situations.
Yeah, I mean, even like he called, you know, the villain, like, we're here. You're like, I don't fight you. You know, like, ruin the whole day. It's like, you did what? Good stuff.
I love the scene where they're walking through. And this is the one point where I was like, you know, that might be a little tough for accent. They're walking through. It's like, you, dumb tree, you're my friend. You, Quill, you're my friend. And you, green whore.
Calls it like he sees it, right? The scene when they all met, that's probably one of my favorites, when they're on the planet, you know, and Rocket Raccoon's trying to catch Star-Lord, and right. Gamora's trying to get him, and they're getting away, and Raccoon and Gamora and Groot are getting in each other's way. That was just a really well-done scene.
Mm-hmm. There's another thing I loved about it is that they didn't try to pause to explain everything. Like, Peter Quill threw out something to that was some energy thing that bound her legs. Mm-hmm. There was no explanation, just something he had. And why not? Because this is that kind of world. So those kind of things I loved. That it was just stuff that was...
Yeah, I mean, you had to discover all his tools, right? Right, yeah. It's funny. Max has a Star-Lord action figure from the movie, right? So it's the same outfit, right? And he had these metal things on his boots, right? And Max's like, they're jetpacks, rocket packs, rocket boots. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. And like, you know, 3 minutes into the movie, he uses his rocket boots. And Max is like, I was right. He rubbed it in my face. He's like, see, Daddy, they are rocket boots.
Yeah. Oh, didn't you love that opening scene where he just grabs the creature and starts using his microphone? Yeah. Oh, wow. That was so good.
He starts booting him. Yeah, that's what hooked Max in the game. He's like, yeah, Star-Lord, he's funny. He's like, Daddy, he's really funny. So it was really cool watching the movie. That was Max's first time in the theater, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that might be parent.
How crowded was it? You went, like, it was a second week?
It was. I went on 1:30 on a Sunday. And I would say the theater was 66-70% full. Someone actually had a crying baby in there.
Mm.
Ugh. Yeah. But that was far enough away. It wasn't too annoying, but...
Yeah, I totally recommend that movie. That was great. That was... Is it the best movie I've seen this year? I mean, I haven't seen...
All of them?
Yes. I was trying to think the last time I went to a theater before that. And it actually was not that long ago, but I forget what it was.
My theaters are very far in between. The last time I was at a theater before this one was when we went as a group at work to see The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it was The Dark Knight.
Mm.
So okay. Not I don't go to the theater very often.
Well, you got your kids to worry about. Yeah. When you can't take them to... the theater. Well, now soon you'll be able to.
Right.
Right.
Especially when there's more movies like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of, I mean, it's PG-13, but there wasn't a whole lot of like excessive violence that would, I mean, the thing is, you know, I've seen Max play with things and even you Vine stuff, you know, he plays with things violently. So,
oh, yeah.
So the idea that,
it's that stand-up comic, I can't remember who to credit this to, but like, boys will turn anything into guns. They have a piece of bread at the table, they're turning it into a gun, you know. And it's funny because it's true. Yeah. I mean, dude will take anything and shoot you with it.
And how do they play with action figures? They slam them into each other.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're not constructing very big stories, just saying bam, bam, bam. So a movie showing that, well, I suppose you can make the case that it's the culture overall that puts that into him.
It's every culture. I don't know. I think that's
I don't know.
I think it's a very boy thing. I mean, just
Yeah, but I
think there's something very warrior in boys from very, very, very deep in our brains.
I don't know.
We've only been civilized for like this much time of human history, you know? I think there's something very deep about...
But don't you think that culture plays a role? I mean, if you brought somebody up if you brought Max up as if he were a girl, would he... And told him he was a girl... And present with everything as if he was a girl.
Well, that's a hard thing, right? There's not good research on that because you don't.
Because that's really horrible.
It's not ethical, right?
Yeah. But
I don't know. I don't have the evidence either, right? My gut feel. This is one of the things you have to go back to gut feel. Is it just as you know from my observations? As much as boys like to play war. And fighting and guns and stuff. I just think there's a component to humans that's a genetic, you know, I think there's a gender specific thing which inherits something. And I think it's not that much of a stretch to think that males can inherit this warrior gene, this warrior play type stuff.
I don't know. I mean, keep in mind, girls can be just as competitive. They just do it in different ways. It's more of a social thing as opposed to a out and out toughness thing, right?
Right.
So, so if it's just competition that's ingrained into us, as opposed to. I mean, I don't know. It's a really hard question, and it's not a question that...
There's no studies.
Data. Yeah, there's no empirical data.
Because you're not going to ruin anyone's life
right.
treating a boy like a girl I guess saying ruin. No one's going to take the risk, right?
Right.
To not raise a child. I don't know if traditional is even the right word, right? But experiment on a child?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. It's not ethical,
it's,
right?
It's completely unethical. Here's the question, though. Like, 50 years from now, human cloning is possible. Does it become ethical if you make 50 clones of somebody and 49 you let out, then one you experiment on? Ooh.
There's movies on this shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's Moon. Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once a person is booted... up and running and has emotions, it really seems wrong not to treat them like a full human.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of the social.
And you can walk that back, right? I mean, I am not anti-abortion, right? But, I mean, you can kind of walk that thing back. And where does it stop, right? When does a human stop being a human? And you can kind of maybe not agree with, but appreciate.
Oh, yeah. I mean... To me, the way I look at it is we have a society, I've already decided that, for example, if you were involved in a car crash that killed a 2-year-old, it would be, you get less of, I mean, you still get plenty of, you know, you still would be under a lot of criminal stuff, but it would be less of a criminal charge than if you killed a 21-year-old. Or a 6-year-old even. There's a recognition that humans in their larval stages, as it were, are not quite a part of society yet.
Is that it? Or does it mean that there's a recognition that, 2-year-olds are more fragile, so therefore say there was a 2-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 12-year-old in the car, and you only killed the 2-year-old, maybe you weren't quite as negligent as the person who hit the car hard enough to kill the 2-year-old and the 6-year-old. You know, because 2-year-olds are pretty fragile, right? You know, it takes less force to traumatize them, and maybe there's a not very negligent accident could kill a 2-year-old where... You know, vehicular manslaughter requires a certain amount of negligence.
I never thought of it that way. I honestly didn't, and it's a good point. I don't have an answer to that.
I mean, I never... So until you mentioned the whole thing, I didn't ever consider that whole part, what you were saying, where you can actually kill a two-year-old and not be as bad as killing an adult, right? Never crossed my mind. I'm not even sure. But, you know, if I'm trying to reconcile that, mm-hmm. that's where I go, right? Maybe it's the amount of trauma, and it can be where an accident could accidentally kill a two-year-old, right? It would never be considered an accident to kill a full-grown adult because of the amount of negligence needed, the amount of force, you know, that kind of thing, right?
I can't argue that point because that's valid. And so I don't know, you know, whether that is really a point or not. So my argument on that kind of falls away then.
And I still, this is an argument I don't like winning, right? Because I have no basis on the whole premise where you mentioned a 2-year-old, 21-year-old, that kind of thing. I've never seen that kind of thing.
I mean, from my perspective, it seems like a 1-year-old is not a significant enough part of society as opposed to, say, a 4- or 5-year-old. They haven't, I mean, they're still basically a shitting and pooping machine that smiles.
Less capital was spent on them, right? So
it's not, I mean, I'm not,
I mean, if you're trying to make it economic, you know, if you're trying to look at the economics.
I'm not trying to make it about money. I mean, economics mm-hmm. plays a role, but economics in terms of value, not in terms of money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I mean, the reason why I think, you know, for example, that there should be, at very least, like a guaranteed income, whatever, and the idea. I think it's disgusting that there is this concept in American life that you have to work in order to be of any value to society. You're valuable to society because you have relationships with other people. This sort of Americanized thing where your only value can be measured in the money you make, or that every single person needs to have a job. Every single person needs to work and earn their right to live is pretty disgusting, I think, fundamentally. Because I think people have value besides just how much money they can make for somebody, or how productive they can be, in, you know, as an engine. So pulling that back, people, you know, when you're 6 weeks old, 6 months old, you're valuable to your acute thing, but you really aren't developed at all to the point where you have relationships with other people, and the other people are necessary. I mean, obviously your parents and your family are going to be affected by it, but it's not going to affect a larger sphere. Whereas once you are out in the world, you're affecting a larger sphere. In theory.
I don't know.
What do you think about the work thing, though?
Work thing, we've already disagreed about that.
So you believe...
We've gone through that.
Well,
we had a vigorous argument about that 3 months ago.
Yeah, but I'm taking it from a different angle. I mean, do you think that... Maybe it's not two different angles, but...
It's not. It's the same thing.
So you do think that people should be required to be productive engines in order to survive?
I'm looking at the fringe cases right now, because my default answer would be yes, right? If you want to operate in society, where the society is, you work and get a paycheck to pay for things, to pay, you know, It's because that whole argument we had about lighting your farts on fire, right? We've already cashed this. Right. I don't want to do it again.
Okay. Do you think capitalism is sustainable?
That's a harder question, right? I mean, it... So, while I think that, you know, I don't like the idea of every citizen getting a stipend type thing as much, you know, like... I won't put words in your mouth, but I mean, that's the basic gist, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I also do not like the disparity in income that, you know, is the wage gap. The, mm-hmm. you know, the richer are getting richer, the poorer are getting poorer. You know, we're luckily in the middle high end of things.
Not really.
No.
No, we're not. We are poor. We are poor compared to the insane amount of money that CEOs make.
Well, maybe we I don't know.
You and I are 99 percenters through and through.
All right, 99 percenters.
What?
Yeah, 99, but yeah. How would you like to be the bottom 30%?
I would not like to be the bottom 30%, but I don't like where I am. I don't like the fact that there's essentially a corporate oligarchy right now, and that there is an entire group of people who, simply because of the amount of wealth they have amassed, can separate themselves out from society and have a basically different society than the one that we live in.
That's the part I can agree with. The other part, I can't connect the two, though.
What?
I can't connect the every individual stipend for lighting your farts on fire. I just, to me, it's two different aspects, right?
Well, you said they're two different aspects. That means that they're the same thing. Well, it's just
maybe I used the wrong word. I think we need income equality. I think people should still work for their wages.
Why?
Because if you want money, you need to provide... We had this argument. You need to provide something of value.
I'm not arguing. I'm asking you why.
But it's going to turn into the same argument.
No, I want to know what you think. I'm not going to argue with you. I want to know what you think.
You need to do something that society deems as valuable to get money for it.
Okay.
Lighting your farts on fire is the gross example of doing something that no one would find valuable to society, except for some, you know, tiny fraction of avant-garde artists.
I mean, you can't say no one, because it could happen where that could be. I mean, somebody could make a YouTube channel where he does that and make money, right? I mean,
well, that was on Last Week Tonight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or no, on Nathan For You, right, where you got the video of the guy farting.
And there's also, what is it? It's Rule 34, right? If there's... if it exists, there's porn of it, because there's an audience for that. So,
right.
in some ways, yeah, there's a market for pretty much anything you can think of. But that's
okay. If you want to dig into this a little bit more, I would make the statement that there should, you know, I would like to see, and I don't have the math, I don't have the studies, I don't have the economics background, but, you know, I would not disagree that there should be available jobs for everyone who wants to have meaningful employment, right? Mm-hmm. To make a living wage.
Mm-hmm.
But to get the living wage for doing nothing or whatever your heart's content, even if no one wants to pay for it, you know, that's kind of where I have the difference, right? Where... your opinion is you can do whatever you want, no matter the perceived value, and get a living wage out of it.
And get the basics of survival covered for.
Right.
Roof over your head, food to have, those sorts of things.
I would much more be likely to get behind a situation where anyone who wants to work for their livelihood should be able to get that job.
So what is the importance of work then? Why is that what somebody needs to do in order to survive?
You're making me sound like a conservative, no handouts asshole. But
yeah, I'm just asking you questions.
I mean, that's it, though. I just have a problem with someone getting handouts who doesn't even want to try to contribute, you know, to work in the system.
Now, these are handouts, you say, because they are...
Because they're not even trying.
So...
They're choosing to do something that is not recognized as valuable.
Right. And so because of that, they are... So because... And so you don't like the idea of it being assigned to them regardless of what they do. So that means it's a handout. That means it's... I'm just trying to
understand. Well, handout's such a loaded term, right?
Yes, yes.
Right.
Right. So that's why
Don't try to pinch me on the loaded term.
No, I'm trying to break it down so it's not so loaded. I'm trying to figure out a way to get it into a sense so it's not as loaded a term.
It's... If you choose to do something that the majority of society thinks is worthless,
then
I have a problem with subsidizing that.
Okay. So it comes down to subsidization. Why is...
This is the same argument that I didn't want to get into. We've already covered all this.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm asking you questions. It's not... I'm not telling you this is how you should think. I'm asking you questions. I want to know why you think these things. I'm not challenging you on them.
Okay.
I simply want to know why you think these things. If it may... Does that make you uncomfortable?
No. No, you can ask away.
Okay.
I think it's going to be boring for the audience because we've already covered all this.
Well, it's interesting to me. So, how do you look at the current system we have and how money works in this system? What I mean by that is money as a determination of value.
I don't follow the question. Sorry.
All right. Economics is about, at its base, it's about how to distribute limited resources. Right? Would you say that?
I've never really tried to define it. I would define it more along the lines of, I mean, if you really distill it down, I mean, I would define it more on the level of the... Give me a few seconds to compose. Okay. That's going to be a lot of dead air, so I'm going to talk it through, right? Okay. I'm working towards the idea of the exchange... Okay, so maybe... Yes... It's limited resources, but to me, economics is more of the exchanges of the resources, right? It's about the flows.
It's the study of how resources are exchanged.
Sure.
Okay. Where does money come into that? Money is, a replacement for barter, right? It's something that we have all decided is valuable in order to facilitate commerce.
Right. Well, because every item has an exchange rate to a common... It's a common exchange rate, right? Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you're able to easily decide... You're easily tell how much your five apples are worth compared to his five bananas. Okay. Or how many bananas five apples is worth, right?
Now, what determines... Who gets X amount of money?
Providing goods or services.
Is there an equality there? I what I mean by this is, do you think that people who are paid millions of dollars are doing a job millions of times more valuable than people who are paid, you know, dollars?
The market bears it. I don't have much of an opinion myself, but I mean...
Okay, so the market dictates it. Is the market infallible?
No, market. I would say the market is not infallible, no.
Okay. So, would you agree that capitalism requires growth? Constant growth?
That's a little bit outside of my expertise. I mean, from what I've observed, it seems as though, right, if you're a public company, you're not growing, you're dying, you know, but I don't have any personal intuition on that answer, right? I don't understand the systems well enough to understand that.
But do you think that constant growth is sustainable?
On what scale, right? I mean,
we've
been on a hell of a run. We've been on it since the 30s, right? I mean, it's a hell of a run.
It's had... Well, I'm not making arguments here. Just asking questions. In a perfect world, how would you determine who gets paid what?
Like I said, I think I summed that part up earlier. I don't have the models to pay for it or anything, right? But it would be my ideal world where there is opportunity for everyone to find meaningful employment, right? And I'm using meaningful employment as a vague term, as something society deems as valuable that they will pay a wage for. And to go back to our previous argument, that is not lighting your farts on fire, right? I mean, if you can run a Kickstarter to pay for lighting your farts on fire, do it, right? But getting a government stipend for doing whatever you want, even if nobody finds it valuable. And again, the example was lighting your farts on fire. And please don't argue that someone may find that valuable.
I'm not arguing.
I mean, you keep saying that.
Because it's true. Because you keep telling me I'm arguing it, and I'm not.
Okay.
I'm trying to reinforce I'm not arguing.
Okay. We'll let the listeners decide on that. So the one thing that I would allow you to argue on the whole lighting your farts on fire is who dictates, who finds it valuable, or if it's research, right? What research is valuable, right? You don't know until it becomes valuable. And, you know, if we use the whole slippery slope, you start painting things with too broad of a brush, you won't know what's valuable and what's not valuable. That's the part of the argument I don't want to get into. If we could please stick to the generalities of not valuable, right?
All right, I'm not going to make an argument, so okay.
Is there any example that you would approve of not valuable work? Someone who... Can you just appease me and say, yes, you can imagine a world where lighting your farts on fire is not valuable by anyone? Can you give me that much?
No.
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 Okay. That makes the argument harder, and it's the argument I don't want to have, so I think I'm just going to bow out right now.
All right.
I know, I appreciate the whole who's deciding whether the farts on fire is valuable or not, right? It's the whole freedom of speech, slippery slope, you know, it's a corollary to that, right? It's who decides what is valuable, what is not, you know? If you turn the argument into scientific research, what research is valuable, what is not, you know? All those... Who's the asshole congressman who does the awards for frivolous spending, you know, for goofy science projects that have, you know, incendiary titles, right? But could actually be real science, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm arguing against myself, I would take an angle like that and mention that type thing, right? I just think that I've covered it all. I'm done. I mean, there's nothing else to say. You know what I think. I don't think you need more clarification. You're trying to have an argument in a subterfuge of not having an argument.
No, I'm trying. I'm trying to understand how you're thinking about things. And, you know, perhaps, maybe, you thinking along the process may make you think about things a different way. If you think it all through.
I appreciate certain aspects, like I just said, right? It makes the argument more difficult. And you... I'm not going to... I mean, I...
Now, here's the deal. I'm not arguing with you. You're arguing with yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Because of you.
Because of me, yes.
Asshole. Fucking asshole. I'm just happy we're good enough friends. I can call you a fucking asshole for that.
I mean, look, I say this a lot. I mean it. It's absolutely of paramount importance to be constantly questioning yourself. The easiest person to fool is yourself. You have to be constantly questioning yourself and asking yourself these kind of questions about everything. Because if you care at all about what's real and what's true and what works and what doesn't, and then you should be constantly saying, is this right? You should be constantly challenging yourself and working through problems. Otherwise, it seems like you're just... You're not using the very thing that has gotten us to where we are.
All right. So maybe here's my final statement on the thing, right? Okay. The whole people should be able to get work that society deems as meaningful. And if you want to do something that society does not deem as meaningful, you need to convince society that the work is meaningful.
Okay. How do you feel about minimum wage?
I used to work for minimum wage. A long time ago.
How do you feel about minimum wage... I guess two questions. How do you feel about there being a minimum wage law at all? And second, how do you feel about where the minimum wage is at?
Huh. How do I feel about where the minimum wage is at? It's too low. Now, I'm going to take somewhat of a I'm not an opinion. What do I think about there being a minimum wage law? I'm not sure what I think about that. I never thought about that question before. Because part of me thinks, don't take a job that only pays minimum wage. Fuck them. Get a better job. I mean, but I've lived in a place where I've always been able to get a better job, right? Hell, I only worked for minimum wage for like 6 months, and then I was already making more than minimum wage, you know? So, I only made minimum wage when I was 15 and a half years old. So.
Do you think minimum wage is enough for somebody to live on?
If you're 15 and a half years old, living at your parents' house, yeah. If you're an adult with children, no.
And what happens in a situation where there are not other jobs available for whatever reason?
I don't know.
Okay.
Not good things, obviously, if there's not better jobs available.
And what would happen if there's not better jobs available and there's no minimum wage law?
It's a race to the bottom, I guess.
I guess that's all. These are the only questions I have right now. So I'll stop asking questions and we can get on to other topics.
All right. Get some skills that people want to pay you real money for.
Just that easy, huh?
Was for us.
Don't you ever feel like that's ridiculous?
I didn't work that hard to get good at computers.
I know. That's the scary thing.
I don't know.
Do you think that the people who are making millions and millions of dollars work that hard to get to the position where they're making millions and millions of dollars?
I'm not qualified to answer that. I don't know.
Do you think lotteries are a good way to distribute money?
Lotteries? Sure, absolutely. No. Ask me how many times I've played the lottery.
How many times have you played the lottery?
Individually, none. Ever. Zero. In one of those corporate, you know, company pool things. Once, maybe twice. It's mostly just to be a part of the group, right?
Do you think that you're not playing a lottery?
The last couple times that I've been offered to join the lottery team group at work, probably the last three or four times, I've declined.
So you...
It's been a long time since I've even done that.
So you're against lotteries. I mean, you're against participating in lotteries.
Because I look at the odds.
Yeah. Guess what the job market is, Jeff?
I don't know. I'm of the opinion that you can get the skill. I mean, there's skills to be gotten. There's jobs to be had.
But what about people who say have a... You have a conviction in your past?
I'm not qualified to even speculate on that. I don't know.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
So yeah, I would just say, keep thinking. All keep right. thinking.
Okay, bye.
Bye.